Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 7, 11, and 17. And I was going to say I'd have a short sermon, but usually when I write on something like that, it ends up being the longest sermon. Revelation 2, chapter 7. Revelation 2, verse 7, 11, and 17. Revelation 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now look at verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look at verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Amen. And amen. 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 I want to talk to you for just a little bit about that word overcomer. You know, we live in a nation and a time in this world. I don't know. Well, all nations are not like this, but is this supposedly a Christian nation? We're full of quitters. Full of quitters. People just quit. They start something today, quit it tomorrow. They give up, it gets a little hard, it goes uphill a little bit, and they're done, and they throw up their hands, they throw in the towel, and I tried that and it didn't work. Well, you know what? In this life, everybody has to overcome something. That's right. That's right. My wife and I watched a very inspirational movie the other night. It wasn't spiritual. Well, you could make it spiritual, but I think the name of it was the Greatest Game Ever Played. It's by a little old boy that grew up poor, and back when our society was so divided that poor people couldn't have nothing to do with rich people. I remember when I was a little kid, we used to go get golf balls out of the golf course ponds and sell them back to those guys. but we wasn't allowed at the country club or the golf club. But we could get their balls and sell, or we could carry their bag. Well, that's what this little boy was. And you got to see that movie. It's Disney put it out, and it's the greatest game ever played. And it's about how society treated him and others too, and how in the end, it's a wonderful. It will inspire you to go on in this old world, no matter what your level in society might be. Amen. He was an overcomer. He didn't give up. I looked it up in the dictionary. The word to overcome is this. To get the better of in a struggle or a conflict. To get the better of in a struggle or a conflict. Kind of like a wrestling match. To get the better of your opponent in a struggle or a conflict. Now we all have struggles. We've all got conflicts in our lives. And the older you get, you think, boy, I'm going to get older and it's going to get easier. No, no. It just gets more complicated. Amen. When you were 16, you thought you had problems. We look back on those now and we laugh at those problems. Amen. And, but then whenever you get about 60, you realize it's uphill. But the problem is, you haven't learned how to overcome things. Just overcome them. So I looked up some things in the Bible that I thought would help us know how to overcome whatever the situation might be, whether it's spiritual or financial or physical. And a lot of our folks are struggling with physical problems. Pray for Sister Shirley. She's battling that cancer right now. And others who are sickly. Ron's battling bad health. And Missy come here today. He done lost a kidney and he wasn't going to make it and all this stuff. And then it turned out, he said, I'm all right. I got a hole in my lung. I got a lung don't work good. I'm doing good. That's what he said. Amen. 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 That's an overcomer. That's the attitude of an overcomer.
That's right.
That's not the attitude of a quitter, you know. And so I found some scriptures I thought might help us to overcome some things. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Most of you already know these. They're very familiar. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you Colossians 2. Colossians 2:11 says this, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And Philippians 3:3. I done lost my spot. Philippians 3:3. I got so many marked. In Philippians 3:3, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, we're going to have an overcoming spirit about our flesh. We just can't have any confidence in it. We're going to have to put that off. We're going to say, this thing's cursed. This thing is not dependable. This thing is sinful. And I've let it, look, if I let this thing have its way, I'm going to be defeated every day. Every day it's going to say, stay in the bed. Every day it's going to say, don't try any harder. Every day it's going to say, don't try to do this and don't try to do that. And you can't do this. You can't do that. And you're limited. And you're, and then the spiritual part, the old flesh will tell you spirit, well, you're still just old sinner. And so what we have to do, we have to put this thing off. So you get over to the side flesh and I'll call you when I want to eat. That's a lot of calls for some people, but I'm going to call you when I want to eat. I'm going to call you if I need to do something, but I'm going to walk in the spirit and I'm going to put aside this fleshly stuff. Look, if you'll do that, you'll quit being mad at people so much. That's the flesh. You'll quit being jealous of people. That's the flesh. You'll quit being envious of people. That's the flesh. A lot of people run around, they walk in the flesh and they say they're in the spirit and they say they're doing spiritual things and they do more destruction than they do help. Because they're walking in the flesh and they don't even know it. They've never recognized this thing is not dependable. Amen. This is something I've got to overcome. Every day I've got to overcome this. Every day. I can't put up with it. I got to put it off. Look at Romans 13. Look at Romans 13, if you will. Romans chapter 13. Look at verse 14. And I'll get over there with you. Romans 13, 14. Listen. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what he's saying is this. Now I put on the Spirit of Christ and I don't give room for this flesh and I don't give it what it wants. I starve my flesh.
Amen.
You got to starve it. You got to lose weight. Oh, we got this exercise program. You join the gym for $50 a month, then they got instructors and all this. No, you quit eating. That's it. You just quit eating. You don't eat, you'll lose weight. Oh, but you got to run a mile a day. No, you don't. Just don't eat. You'll lose weight. Amen. That's how simple it is. The less you eat, the less you weigh. Amen. Boy, ain't that real theological there, brother? You lost 60 pounds? Wow. He said he lost 60 pounds not eating.
Yeah.
And then he met her and he's been eating a lot of chocolate ice cream. I see it on Facebook. Amen. But don't feed the flesh. If we, people tell me, you know, well, and come to this church, they say, I got a problem with saying bad words. I said, well, you must hear bad words a lot. Oh, no, not my house. And you go over to a house and turn the TV on. And everything they watch on TV is full of profanity and cussing. You turn on the radio and everything that they listen to on the radio. And by the way, I don't know how you let your kids listen to modern day music. It's full of sex and profanity. Amen. Well, I can't stop them. Sure you can. You buy everything in our house. Throw the radio out. Throw the CD player out. Take the phone away from them. By the way, who they calling anyway? They ain't got no job. They ain't got to keep up with nobody. Some kid asked me in here the other day, Preacher Ron, how old do you think you got to be to have a phone? I said, old enough to pay for it.
Amen.
Can't pay for it, you don't need it. Well, I have to stay in touch with them. Yeah, and everybody else stays in touch with them too. A lot of people you wouldn't let in your house stays in touch with them. I better go on and get off of that, hadn't I? But look, we've got a new nature. We got a new nature. We don't have to be defeated by the flesh. Galatians 5:17 says this, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Boy, this flesh right here, if we follow it, and by the way, back to those kids, somebody's got to teach them this. This is not natural. This is unnatural thinking. Natural thinking says if it feels good, do it. It's fun. And some of us grew up that way. God's in a lot of trouble. If it feels good, do it. Yeah, but it won't feel good later. Amen. And, but this is, look, this wars against our flesh so that we can't do what we would do. So what I do, preacher, I'm glad you asked. Romans 8. Look at verse 13. I know I'm going fast, but you listen fast. Romans 8, 13. Listen to this. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die.
Yep.
He's talking not only physically, but he's spiritually. If you live to please the flesh, you're going to die early physically. But not only that, you're going to die spiritually. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. All right, class, test. What's a mortician?
Bury it.
That's right. Mortician fixes the body to bury it.
Yep.
So he said, what you got to do, you got to make that flesh as if it's dead, bury it, count it as dead, yep. And then you can do the things of the Spirit. Yep. But if you follow the flesh, you're not going to be an overcomer. You're going to be overtaken.
Right.
Because this thing will sneak up on us. It does every week. We're going to go this week. We're going to go this week. And sometime during this week, we're going to get the flesh. This thing on. It ain't even on this. I want to walk around. Listen, we're going to get the flesh. I'm going to get over here since I've run all these people over here off this morning. I'll get over here. I've run all these people off. Listen, if you do what that thing right there wants to do, you're going to die spiritually as well as physically. So what I got to do, I got to prepare this thing for death.
Amen.
I got to mortify it. I got to make it dead. I got to count it dead. You ever taught yourself?
Yes.
I knew it. The place is full of crazy people. I knew it. That wasn't a yes answer. No, I'm teasing. This place is full of crazy people. They all talk to themselves. Well, hey, I do too. Amen. I tell my flesh sometimes, no, we ain't doing that.
There you go.
And then other times the flesh overwhelm me and I'm not watching and I'm not killing it. And so I'll end up somewhere doing something or saying something and I'll say, oh man, I didn't mean to do that. It ain't something we can do and not know that we're doing it. But we have to know that we've got to mortify and kill this flesh every day.
Amen.
You say, now wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. That preacher on TV told me, yeah, well, he's going to tell you anything it takes to get you money because he lives in the flesh. And he walks in the flesh and he talks in the, and he's carnally minded. He's not spiritually minded. Say amen, Sister Mary. I ain't heard you say amen in a long time. Say amen. You feel like? Amen. Listen, that guy on television, he don't care what you do with your body.
That's right.
He doesn't care if it kills you what you do with your body. As long as you send him an offering before you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell that old story. Did you ever write this one down about the Vietnamese man? Me and my wife went to a restaurant in Charlotte. Somebody took us to a Chinese buffet. And I had on my double-breasted suit, you know, on Sunday. And we went in there, and I'm going down through the buffet, you know, and everybody doesn't sit down but me. And I walk into the end, this little short fellow about that tall. He said, are you a doctor? I said, no, I'm not a doctor. He said, you look like a doctor. What do you do? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, oh, you have lots of money. I said, no, I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, you have TV program? I said, no, I ain't got no TV program. He said, get you a TV program. They send you money. You get lots of money. I said, where am I going to get the money to get the TV program? Hey, man. But let me tell you something. If we let this flesh rule us, we're going to be in a mess. And look, I don't care if he's got a PhD or THD or whatever, if he's a doctor of theology or whatever he calls himself, if he's not telling you that this is not your friend and it's not going to be your friend until it gets resurrected and made new, you're going to be overcome many times by this right here. You are? Some little girl said, I don't know all the way he done that to me, all the way he done that. I should never had nothing to do with him. And I think, well, that's hindsight. If you listen to the Spirit, you wouldn't have nothing to do with him to start with.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Well, it got quiet on that. There's more women in here than there are men. But it is still true. Amen. Our children, my children and your children, our grandchildren, most of the time when they get in trouble, you want to blame somebody else. And it ain't somebody else. It's their stinking flesh. They let their flesh have its way and they got in a mess, got in trouble, whatever it might have been, because they weren't walking in the Spirit because you haven't taught them how to walk in the Spirit. I feel those fiery darts. I'm feeling. That's okay. But let me tell you something. We got to starve that flesh to death.
Amen.
We got to starve. Whatever it wants, that's what we don't give it. Amen?
Amen. Right.
Okay, I better hurry. I'm running out of time. Hebrews 12:1. Most of you know it. Just like I said, most of these scriptures you already know. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now you gotta put it off, you gotta starve it, and another way to say it is, you lay it aside. Anything that hinders you, weighs you down, you better lay it aside, because it's gonna overcome you, and the only way you can overcome it is to lay it down. Come on, help me. Mike, you still with me? Come on, you use the amen pew back there. Amen. Listen, lay it aside. You ever notice a runner does not carry a backpack?
Amen.
You ever notice that? Unless he's dumb enough to join the Marines. But other than that, I'm talking about Olympic runner. He or she does not carry a backpack. Now, there's a lot of things the flesh would like to have while they're running. But you'd have to have something to carry it in. That flesh would like a good old piece of cake like I had today. That'd give them some carbs and some energy. Just eat that while you're running. Mike, you know a lot about that, don't you? And eat that while you're running, and then reach back there and get you a big old bottle of water and drink that while you get you a Gatorade, you know, and drink that. But they don't take none of that. They lay it aside. Because any extra weight that you carry in that race is going to slow you down. And it's the same way in the spiritual race. You start picking up these things the flesh likes, and they're going to weigh you down to where you can't run the race that God wants you to run in this life. I mean, you pick up, people say, well, if I could just get more money, I'd be a better Christian. No, that's a weight you're going to have to carry. Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is a poor man. That's a weight. Now, I'm not against money if you use it for the right reason. But if all you do is go around collecting money, carrying it around, you're going to get in the flesh and you're going to forget God and you're going to quit being spiritual minded until he takes it away from you.
Right.
These young people, they run around here getting friends. They like to brag about how many friends they got. Most of their friends they'd be better off without. There ain't nothing but weights to them. And they're going to get them in trouble. And then they're going to have to throw them off. Then it's going to be too late. And it's the same way with adults. Boy, we'll go out to eat with people and fellowship with people. Hang out at the restaurant, you know, and sit around and talk hour after hour after hour. And it turns into a weight because you're going to start gossiping. Amen. Now, Bob says man's have friends, he show himself friendly. But it also tells us to listen twice as much as we talk.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Now, if you start running with these people and you start taking up the things that, join this. Join up with these. Be a part of this. Pretty soon, you're not even going to have time for church. You're not going to have time for your Bible. You're not going to have time for prayer. Why is it so quiet?
Listen.
There's some things we have to lay aside. I'm a redneck. I'm not ashamed of being a redneck. I grew up a redneck. I don't know how else to be. Amen. I'll die. Thank you for that little. I like NASCAR racing. I like stock car racing better.
Amen.
I grew up around the dirt track racing. Yeah, I went. I covered red dirt when I went home. I was on the pit crew. 12, 13, 14 years old, I was on the pit crew. Amen. I got to go down the middle where you saw them get drunk and fight. After they wreck, they get down there and fight. Well, you wrecked me. They get me. And just think 12, 13 year old boy down and all that. You see that? You see that? We grew up that way. My brother had a race car. My brother-in-law had a race car. Our neighbor had a race car. That was something else. And, look, as I grew up, I had hot rods. I think at 16, I changed my first transmission. Y'all wouldn't even know what I was talking about. Ain't no need to talk about it. But I changed transmissions, motors, drive shafts, rear ends, all kind of stuff. As a teenager, because we had hot rods. And Friday night and Saturday night was races out on the Lancaster Bypass. We all had races out there. And late Saturday night, late Friday night, it was outrun the loft from the pit stop down there below the hospital over the top of that hill. If you could outrun them, they wouldn't chase you no more. I'm serious. I love cars. I love racing. But let me tell you something. That stuff will weigh you down. A lot of Christian men were weighed down today because they were more concerned about racing than they were about the things of God.
Come on now. Yeah.
I'm not against football. I never was no good at football. I wasn't but that big around. They couldn't find a place to fit me. Wasn't no good with baseball. I was too clumsy to play basketball. I could rebound, but I couldn't shoot or dribble. I couldn't dribble and move at the same time. I still can't. But that stuff will weigh you down. There's nothing inherently wrong with any of them. But if you don't watch out, that stuff will get on your flesh and you will be burdened down and it will hurt you carrying that weight around. Now, I ain't never been a woman. I don't know what hurts you. Ask my wife. But I know y'all got problems too, just like men do. If you don't watch out, look, we got to lay this stuff aside. He said, laying aside those weights. Those weights that so easily beset us, hold us back. That's a relationship. Hello. That's a hobby. That's a job. That's a person, a place, or a thing, whatever it is, that hinders you and keeps you out of the will of God because it appeals too much to this. If you're going to have to, look, if you're going to overcome it, you got to lay it down. Say, that's it. I won't be going no more races. Y'all awful quiet. Oh, I know what it is. I ain't going back wrestling no more. My mama used to watch wrestling. Amen. Look at Romans 8:1. Well, how are we going to do this, preacher? Romans 8:1. Look at this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in a Chevrolet. A Ford. Live in a big house. Got a big salary. Has lots of friends. Has lots of boyfriends, girlfriends. No, sir. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to do that.
Amen.
Now there's a time I had to do that. Sin drove us. It drove us. It was our taskmaster.
That's right.
We could not help ourselves.
That's right.
We quit every week and went right back the next week.
Yeah. Amen.
But we don't have to be like that as Christians. We walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit will overcome those things in us and through us and for us. You say, well, how do I walk in the Spirit? Well, he says it plainly right now. He said, for the law of Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. They used to have this thing, what would Jesus do? Y'all remember that? I never got on to all that. But I don't think it would be a bad thing to measure your spirituality by.
Right.
Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus be pleased with this? Would Jesus be pleased with this person in my life? Would Jesus be pleased with this habit or this hobby? Would Jesus be pleased with this career? Would Jesus be pleased with the way I talk or dress? Would Jesus? Well, that's called walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
Because see, now, I don't care what the other runners say. I've laid all that stuff aside. I'm out to win.
Amen.
I'm out to win. Now, I'm going to win. I'm a winner anyway. This is the victory. I've got it. But I want to win running this race. I don't want to be a used to be and a has been.
Right.
Come on now. Yeah.
Now we all fall, but get up. The race ain't over till you quit breathing.
Right.
Amen.
Man. Well, I'll tell you what. If I gave up every time I got beat up as a kid, I wouldn't be. I had to overcome that. I did. I had to overcome a lot of things. I was that little boy we was talking about with the golf course thing. I was the one they call white trash. Look, if you'll start walking in spirit, you won't even hear that stuff anymore.
Right.
People say, preacher, you know what so-and-so said about you? I said, no, and I don't care.
Right.
But you just don't know. No, I don't know. I don't care.
Right.
Don't tell me you're wasting your breath. What got quiet on that one? So, look, lay that stuff aside. Walk in the spirit. Get close to God. The Spirit, get filled with the Spirit of God. Ask Him to fill you every day. Ask Him to guide you every day. Me and my wife, we pray every day. Been praying it for years right here. We pray this, and I want you to do this every day. We say, Lord, give us health. And Lord, give us wealth. So we can serve you and others and not have to worry about these things.
Amen.
He's answered our prayers.
Amen.
And we're not any better than anybody else. Matter of fact, I usually feel less than everybody else. You ask my wife, I don't like to go in parties and gatherings, and I always feel kind of less. Except that time that I had to go to the president's house of Winthrop University, my wife was on the president's list. She went back to college after kids got old enough to go to school and got her degree in teaching. And she was in that top level. So she got to go to the president's house. At the president's house, they drank their tea like this. They don't drink it, they sip it. And everything in there was porcelain and glass. My wife said, don't touch anything. You'll break it. Then she said, don't make fun of the food. It's a redneck in King George's house. Amen. But you know what? That stuff doesn't impress me anymore. You lay all that stuff aside and you say, look, I'm going to live for God. If you don't like that, walk with somebody else.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm going to serve Christ. If that don't please you, go somewhere else.
Amen.
Yes. What was that old saying? You talk about me as much as you please. I talk about you down on my knees. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. I quit. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught. You there yet? As you have been taught. Now that's why I said we got to teach our children. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then verse 23 he says there in chapter 2 of Colossians. Verse 23. He says, are you still with me?
Yes.
Which things have indeed, I shouldn't have read that one. But yeah, I did. Watch things that, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If you please the flesh, you cannot please God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, folks, the church has left the fundamental teachings of the Bible. Last week I preached on hell. And I could look at some people and I looked at them and I thought, they've never heard a sermon on hell. And I preach on separation from the world and walking in the spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And I look in people's eyes and they say, I don't know what he's talking about. And I turn on TV and it's milk. It's not meat.
Right.
And then when I come to church and we hear people teach and preach the word of God about walking in the spirit, laying aside the flesh, crucifying the flesh, mortifying the flesh, they look at us like, what? What? I thought God wanted me to be happy. He does, but you're not going to be happy in the flesh.
Amen.
Not if you're saved.
Amen. That's right.
The only way you're going to be happy is walk in the spirit.
Amen.
Any other way, you're going to be unsatisfied and you're going to get chastening. So if you want to be an overcomer, lay this thing aside. The Bible says the brethren are not easily offended.
Right.
Quit worrying about what people say about you and quit worrying about what people think about you and live to please God.
Amen.
Lay those feelings down. Lay those emotions down. And when people say, oh, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, say, you didn't hurt my feelings. You can't hurt a dead man. I died March 5th, 1978. There's nothing you can do to me to hurt me. I've got the victory. I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven, and look on the way. I'm going to enjoy it.
Amen.
I'm not going to endure it. I'm going to enjoy going to heaven while I live in this world. And if you don't like that, you might want to find yourself a new friend.
Amen.
Amen. That's how you overcome. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Billy Burgess. Who'd ever thought he'd still be around? He's still here. He's still here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Old Ron, blue buckle, red neck, down there at the industrial mill, blue buckle gang, fight, fuss, cuss. It's grace of God. He's still alive, much less in the will of God. Amen. Rudy, I never pick on Rudy. I'm going to pick on Rudy a minute. Rudy, short-tempered, woo, short-tempered, get mad at the drop of a hat, gets right with God, and he's got the peace of God, and he's got the pleasantness of God on. Who thought he'd still be around? When he first come, his ex-pastor sent me a note and said, you better watch out for Rudy Moore. He's a troublemaker. Amen. How many years ago was that, Rudy? How many years was that? Huh? 14 years ago he said that. Thank God. Look, let's make up our mind we're going to overcome this stuff.
Amen.
Not be overcome by it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand. Thank you, Father.